Now it is my pleasure to introduce Tove. And Tove has been with us, it seems like forever, but
2001.
So you came the same year we did. You came the same year we did then. You joined the same year we did.
Yes.
And at that point you were a student at WSU.
Yes.
And now you are so much more. I'm going to let you come up and introduce yourself and tell us what you have to say.
Well, I have an incurable issue with technology. So, unfortunately, I'm going to read from here and hopefully it will work the whole time. Benefit of getting sunburned yesterday is that you can't tell when I get really red. I've never done this
before. Courage,
so.
Dear. Courage. Yes. Let's pretend we're a bunch of kids.
True. And we all are. So very apropos that I'm here speaking on courage, since I've never done this before. I would like to begin with one of my very favorite poems by the great Mary Oliver, called The Journey. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you shouted their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. As I considered the theme courage, I discussed at length with many of my closest friends what courage is. I recognized that most of the ruminations had to do with others, with history, with major tragedies. This week, we certainly saw many examples of great courage, the kind we will speak of for years and decades to come. But what I was struck by was that there always seemed to be a rear-view mirror kind of approach to courage, looking back, and quite often far back. This made me think of what one of my wisest friends said to me once. She talked to me how about if she were able to go back and visit with her younger self, how she would say nothing but encouraging things and tell her how proud she was of herself. What struck me was how perhaps it would be more useful if we pulled courage closer to us and tucked it in near us, in our pockets, in our blankets, under our pillows. And that was what my discussions were lacking, the honoring of everyday courages, no matter how small. When I look back at my own past, I recognize that I must have been courageous. I was brought up in a family with 6 children and experienced most flavors of abuse from multiple family members. Social services were called when I was 16 by someone I knew, and after a terrifying 3 months, I was left in an unchanged house with parents who thought that I was the one that was the anonymous source that tattled. And my life did not remotely improve, but in fact was worse, as everyone in my family but myself lied. It was horrible. In my earlier years of college, the list of my abusers grew as I was raped by several friends and a stranger. And I spent every ounce of my energy working towards a successful relationship with my mother, who in the end decided we would not speak. It has been 9 years since we've corresponded. As I reflect upon these experiences and others, I never once recognized feeling courageous. I remember feeling depressed. I remember feeling lonely. I remember feeling terrified. I remember feeling hopeless. I remember feeling furious. I remember feeling suicidal. But courageous? No. Though I must have been, as I stand here yet before you. I thought about my wise friend, her words, and if I were able to visit a younger Tove. Of course, I'd wrap my arms around her and tell her how beautiful and brilliant, talented and loving she is, how proud I am of her, and how brave she is. I imagine it would take a good long time for me to be able to impart all that I would want to express to her. And this led to my idea of everyday courage. If I would be so compassionate towards my younger self and her courage, why do I not deserve to have that compassion towards myself every day? Having been through years of therapy, I recognize the very amazing ability one has to survive and thrive and change. Many times I have made conscious decisions to move forward in my life, to change how my past affects me, and how to use those experiences in a positive way to be the best person I may be. Multiple times I created social experiments for myself to help me work through anger, to stave off anxiety, to practice forgiveness, and to honor gratitudes. But I had never looked that closely at courage. I wondered of a way in which I may be able to acknowledge those moments I have courage, no matter how small, no matter how often. As I thought about it, I realized that I was not interested in taking those moments and dissecting them, as I had done when I learned to deal with anger, for example. On a fairly regular basis, I find myself navigating anxiety, and it did not seem a good idea to pick apart those moments of courage, as it seemed it would give more weight to the reason for the need of courage and less to the act of courage. For a while, I found myself unsure how exactly to acknowledge those courageous moments. But in the meantime, I started to try to take notice of the times during my day in which I may be uncomfortable, anxious, nervous, and that would step forward in courage to overcome that moment. I looked at these moments gently, but I did not yet have a tool to acknowledge them. One day I watched a TED Talk on the power of smiling and was moved by the words of the speaker. Later that evening, as I listened to a guided meditation by Tara Brach, I realized that smiling was my tool to acknowledge everyday courages. Ms. Brach says often in her guided meditations to imagine the curve of a smile. Sometimes she asks you to do this for a specific part of your body, and sometimes she asks you to imagine it spreading and growing within you. I had always been moved by her words of imagining the curve of a smile, and I now had my way to acknowledge courage. As the days progressed after that, any time I recognized a moment in which I was even the tiniest bit courageous, I would gift myself with the imagining of a curve of a smile within me. After a few days practicing this as often as I could remember, I was shocked at how I felt. I felt much more accepting of myself, more compassionate, more loving. I enjoyed those moments in which I smiled inwardly. It felt as if I were a secret, special gift I was giving myself. I was calmer. My moments of anxiety were fewer and shorter, and my quality of life on whole, better. To give myself that little gift of a smile had changed my life, and I continued to practice this compassion towards myself. I didn't always succeed, don't always remember, but I also don't put a time limit on when to respond to those moments. If I were recognized 3 days later that there was a moment of courage, I gifted myself that curve of a smile. And then there came an additional surprise benefit to the experiment. As I continued to improve the practice of compassion towards my own courages, I found myself even more empathetic towards others. I noticed moments in which people around me were potentially being brave, and my compassion towards them grew. I imagined a curve of a smile for them as well. We never know what anyone's story is or how their story has shaped what's difficult for them. As I watched my coworkers, friends, and strangers a little more closely in interactions, I saw moments I suspected that if I were them, I would smile. And so I did, and held with me the potential that my curve of a smile was perhaps helpful to them. And so I encourage you to pull courage closer to yourself and recognize not the big, just the big courageous things that you do, but also the very tiny ones. Anytime your heart beats just a little faster, your hands feel clammy, there's a lump in your throat, or you feel that knot in your stomach. Whatever your physiological response to nerves, anxiety, discomfort, and fear are, when you recognize that moment, look at it with compassion. And as you see those around you, remember that you never know what their story is or what sorts of things may be scary for them. I ask you to consider this as you consider your journey. So now I ask you please to close your eyes. Take a few full breaths. And with each exhale, sense a letting go of tension, a softening and relaxing of the body. Imagine a smile spreading through your eyes, gently uplifting the corners and softening the flesh around them. Feel a real yet slight smile at the mouth, and also sense inside the mouth smiling. Relaxing the jaw, notice the sensations that arise through the mouth and cheek area. Imagine smiling into the heart. Sense the smile spreading through the heart and chest, creating space for whatever you might be feeling. Allow the sensations and feelings in the heart area to float in this very tender space. Imagine smiling into the navel area, letting the curve of a smile spread through the belly, softening any tension there. Notice awareness awakening deep inside the torso. Now imagine the atmosphere of a smile enlarging to include your whole body. Take a few more full breaths, sensing the aliveness that fills your entire body in the openness of a smile. And now to return to the words of Mary Oliver, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. Thank you.
Would you be open to questions?
Sure.
Discussion?
Why did you center on the smile? Did you have some reinforcement on this idea, or is it mainly from one source? Or?
It was just fortuitous that day that I was looking for a way to acknowledge the courages without making a really big deal, essentially, I guess. Something, a private acknowledgement. It just seemed to be the right thing.
What do you think, you know, coming from such terrible early experiences, what do you think kept you going when you didn't know anything?
Others. Being touched by other people, or touching other people, maybe. That connection between myself and my community. And recognizing that my community is very strong, where maybe my family is not.
I know you like Mary Oliver, and I also know you love children's books, but mm-hmm. are there any other texts or particular go-to authors or artists whose work you consult when you are wanting to celebrate happy things or fend off unhappy things?
I do often go to Mary Oliver. I have a bunch of children's books, too, that I go to. The Prophet, often, I find myself pulling off the shelf and seeking solace in Gibran's words. So those are probably my top ones.
I really like what you said about seeing acts of courage, like trying to recognize ones that weren't obvious enough. I was just wondering if you had any of those little ones that made you more empathetic towards people. Do you have any examples of that? I mean, is it just, I mean, I was imagining in your work life that you're seeing busy people do something, or what?
I think because I do work through anxiety on a regular basis, that I tend to recognize that in others when people feel nervous or uncomfortable. So that would be a big one, you know. I mean, it's a big deal for some people to even walk out of their house and to see people just, I don't know, maybe body language tells me a lot, but I think that that's the most prominent thing that I recognize in others when I sense that they're maybe not comfortable, or, you know, but they're pushing through.
So I saw this little sign one day, and it said something like, about the smile, it said, your day will go the way your mouth turns up or down.
when you wake up.
And even if you just think about that, there must be a lot of muscles in the mouth to smile or frown. I don't know, there's probably some statistics about that.
But
it really does make a difference if you just think about smiling, even if you don't. I think, and I love that meditation because it can affect your whole body. It's very powerful.
I read Practice for a Friend the other day, and I had not read my words to anyone else. And she asked me when I started doing that, because I hadn't talked about this social experiment, that I had just done it on my own and reflected upon it. And so I told her that I had started sometime in January, was what I could remember. And she stopped and said, I recognize that you changed then. I can see that. So that was very validating to me to have not said to her what I was doing, and to have her say that she noticed a change in me.
Thank you.
One thing I love about the circle, about the smile, is it is part of the circle. Mm-hmm. I love that symbolism.
It seemed to me too, as you were guiding me through that, that you were both making the smile, you know, sort of making the smile inside yourself, but also you're being smiled at. It's like both.
Yeah.
I think it's also interesting how it's really easy to try to cheer up another person and fix them and help them by telling them to smile, mm-hmm. but that's not really what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm struck by the difference there. Mm-hmm. That's very, very, a very different effect.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tara.
You're welcome.